from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome to Cairo Nights. I am your host, Jake Skorheim. Thank you guys so much for choosing to spend your Friday evenings with us. You could be doing anything else, but you choose to be here. I appreciate it. We have a really great show tonight, actually. We have a lot of fun. We're going to get deep into Twilight Zone later, which is so stupid. But whatever, it's my show, it's nighttime, it's Friday, nobody cares. So we're going to have fun. Felix Bunnell is actually going to join us in the third hour of the show. He texted me the other night when we were talking about Twilight Zone. Remember I was telling you about the sex bot episode of the Twilight Zone from the 1950s, which is really weird that they were so predictive because that's a thing now. Anyway, Felix texts me while I'm on the air and he's like, oh, I love Twilight Zone. We should do an hour on this sometime when you're desperate. And I was like, how about Friday? So he's going to come in later and we're going to talk about Twilight Zone. And I hope you guys like it as much as we do. And if you don't, whatever. Check back with us Monday. All right. But right now, it's Friday. I'm so excited because on Fridays, that means...
We are the Three Amigos. We are the Three Amigos.
Wait a minute. There's only two of us here. Chris Sullivan's here. Chris, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I was about to say, hey, where's our third person?
Where the heck is Nate?
Nate Connors.
I usually call him Nate the Great.
Yeah.
Maybe Nate the Late. He's not here.
No, he's got important family things to do.
Oh, he's vacationing. That's right.
No, he's going on and cheering on his boy.
Oh,
he's got big basketball tournaments for fifth graders.
You know what?
So
no,
he's
a family show.
He's on the road right now.
If somebody's going to take some time off for family, I support it.
He's on the road cheering Leo on.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck to Nate's kid. Whatever. If it's for family, that's fine. I'm going to hold it a little bit against him, and I'll kind of hold a grudge for a while, but we'll get over it.
Yeah, that's so nice of you.
Chris Sullivan, welcome to the show.
Yeah, it's great
to
be here.
Two amigos.
Yeah, we got two of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, this is great.
Yeah, but that just means I always cut off Nate anyway, so it's kind of like just you and me anyway.
Nate's kind of like window dressing. He's a great third wheel. Actually.
And he's so good looking and his voice is so perfect.
His voice is perfect. So it's nice to have him here. Yeah. But, you know, like if I'm being honest, like, is it really more just you and me? Yes. If I'm being completely honest, it's more you and me. And Nate's here and it's great. Nate's great when he's here.
There's no doubt about it.
But
Nate the
when
great.
He's not here, like, is it a massive loss? I don't know. I hope he's listening to this wherever he's at.
I'm not sure I should say something about someone who I actually technically manage.
Well,
say that on the air.
I don't know if you can say that. Yeah, but I can say that.
We'll go back and we'll take care of this in post.
Nate is a little behind the scenes for anybody who doesn't work in our newsroom. Nate is my desk mate. So we actually, it's not like the military. We're not like swapping bunks or anything. Nate actually just sits in the desk right across from me and we face each other. And so all day, Nate's really funny because he's like, do you ever watch The Office?
Yeah.
Okay, so like, you know, on Jim on The Office, I was always kind of looking at the camera and he's like, he'll make an eye look at you. And then he kind of like, you know what he's thinking just based on what he does with his eyes. All day, people say things in the newsroom that are kind of like crazy. And all day, Nate and I just kind of, we won't say anything. We will look, because our desks are separate. They're in these little, like, they call them conversation pods or something.
No, collaboration.
Collaboration pods.
That's it,
collaboration pods.
Because we don't want to be in cubicles.
No.
We want an open discussion and dialogue amongst seatmates.
Yeah, they said it's all about the like accidental synergy of working together. Like,
wow, those are fancy words that I've yet to learn in management.
Well,
but I will start, and as soon as I do,
you should
throw
use
me out
that.
The door.
Yeah, you should use that.
Synergy.
People like that.
I don't even know what that means.
Well, I can't really explain it, but
good.
Whatever. So Nate and I will be sitting next to each other, and somebody, and I'm not going to throw anyone under the bus, but there's a lot of people in the newsroom that, you know, just have a lot of crazy ideas, and they say a lot of crazy things, or they say it really loudly, like way louder than you need to talk.
I'm guilty of that.
No, not you so much. You're okay. But yeah, actually, yeah, you're one of the people. But whatever. So Nate and I will look across at each other, because they do have like a, I don't know why they have this, they have 6 inches of glass above your desk. Like, that's supposed to be some separation.
Well, again, it was kind of like when we got them, they were a removal from cubicles. So it still allows you a little personal space.
But it's see-through.
But it also provides a little buffer when we do our interviews at the desk because our voices are down below the window
a
little bit.
It's below headline.
Yeah, it's basically worthless.
It's worthless. Should
have seen, well, during the COVID, remember what we did? We extended those with plastic.
I wasn't here during COVID.
Oh, we put up plexiglass and put those up right there.
Some people
didn't really help or not.
No, it didn't do anything. Yeah.
No.
That was actually like... anti-science was, it just didn't work. I know that everybody tried it and they said like, oh, you should do these and cloth masks.
Yeah.
As it turns out, it didn't do anything, but
not
whatever.
Really. Nope.
So Nate and I sitting across from each other and all day, Nate will look up and he's like the funniest guy. Cause he'll just look up and he'll make like a funny look with his eyes. And you just know exactly what Nate's thinking. But yeah, we're going to have to just guess what he's thinking because he didn't show up here tonight. Okay. Before we get into the show, and I want to talk to you about a bunch of stuff, but before we get into it, we do a trivia thing every single night. And what we like to do is play this clip. I'm not going to give you any context for it other than it's a great movie. I hope you enjoy it. And then at the start of the next hour, this is my tease. This is an enticement for you to listen to the next hour of the show. At the start of the news roundup at 8 o'clock, I will give you the answer to this. You can also try us on the text line, 888-973-5476. We cannot always respond to every text message because we get a lot of them, but we'll try. But this is a clip I'm going to play for you now. Good luck.
You know what, big boy? You're grown up. Yeah, I did that. Because you're grown up and you're grown up and you're grown up.
Do you have any idea who that is?
No.
Okay. I'm not, I mean, I can't give it away because that would break the game. But I will just say it's Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
Okay.
I've only seen like one or two of his movies.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should see some more.
Rudy being number one amongst them.
Oh, Rudy.
It's funny. I didn't even know he was in that, to be honest, until someone told me recently.
You went to Notre Dame, didn't
you? Yes, I did. And they filmed Rudy the year after I graduated.
No, they did.
On campus, yeah.
You're kidding.
Yeah. No, they filmed it on campus.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time.
A couple of the football players were actual football players.
Well, that makes sense because those guys
on the team, yeah. But it was, some slight liberties taken, but still an amazing story. I cry at that movie every single time. Before you get more than 5 minutes into it, just the music and the view of the Notre Dame campus just takes me back.
Dude,
I could care less about the story, which is fabulous, but I just start crying because I miss all my buds and I loved my 4 years there. It was amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say that actually must have a much different much different feel for you than it is for
totally.
I adore that movie because I was a young kid when it came out and it's all about like chasing down your dreams and it just hit home with me in so many different ways.
No, it's for me, it's but just for seeing you, the campus and it just brings me back to being, 18, 19, 20, 21.
When you're on in that place. And the campus looked exactly like that.
Yeah,
right?
It still does. Yeah. I mean, again, they were pretending it looked like the 70s, but it really hasn't changed all that much. I mean, fair catch, Corby, first down, Moses, touchdown, Jesus, all the things around campus there. Yeah, I cry instantly when I immediately just think of all my buds. So I don't get to see, and I haven't seen in 30 years.
We didn't plan on talking about this, but no. I cry every single time I watch that movie,
and I cry at the end, too, of course.
And we all cry on this part.
Well, I got to tell you, it's just occurred to me what the student body has been chanting for the last 2 or 3 minutes. It's the name Rudy. Dan Rudy. Walk-on senior, subject of a future article in yesterday's student newspaper, The Observer. After toiling for 2 years at Carnegie Field and
go get it, kid!
Oh my gosh, right here I'm crying.
Okay, I'm not, and I'll tell you why.
I mean, I'm not crying right now. I need to go on the journey with him, but like right now in the movie, I'm crying.
But I'm not, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
It's weird. I cry when the dad walks into the stadium for his first game.
Oh, you do? I cry when
like,
the
there's
brother...
nothing like... My eyes have never seen it. Whatever the
my
dad
eyes
says,
have never seen anything
something
as beautiful
as this, because that's the way I felt.
Like,
that's the way I feel about it now, looking back, because I haven't been there in forever. But I don't cry at that part when he gets in the game, because of the edits in the movie.
Oh, it's too tough for you to watch.
No, the edits in the movie don't. I'm too much of a football guy. So there are parts of the movie that were filmed but spliced together that aren't sequential. So like a play that happened, then they'll go back, they'll show Rudy on the sidelines, and the guys will be lined up for a kickoff. And I'm like, no, they're not. They're already on offense. And I'm like, that just bugs me to know it's a horrible continuity thing.
Nick, I mean,
no, because I see
that.
It as a football person. I'm like, oh, they're lined up for a kickoff. No, that doesn't make any sense from a continuity standpoint. And so it takes you out. It takes me out of the moment because I know they didn't. It doesn't work for me because
I'm a kid when I see that movie.
Understand.
I'm like 10 years old again, and I'm thinking like I can accomplish my dreams too. Mm-hmm. And when his brother, who doesn't believe in him the entire time, and then he finally starts clapping Rudy, and he's looking around, and everybody in the crowd is like chanting Rudy.
And Favreau's like, who's the wild man now? Who's the wild man
now? And Favreau is crying. Oh my gosh, it's the best.
I'm kind of welling up right now, actually, thinking of that too. The sack. that same stadium.
Did you watch every game there?
Yeah.
What did it feel like this? Like, I feel like this movie, one of the reasons student, this movie
works so
well.
All the students get tickets to the games.
Yeah.
And back then, I was at the stadium size that it was back for Rudy as well, only 50,000, 59,000 before the renovation, which has happened over the last 30 years. So where they've added no more jumbotrons and all these extra seats and all these other things, really small and intimate. The brick, it looks like old, you know, Michigan Stadium there.
Yeah.
You know, the same old kind of old timey time brick. Ah, you're right. I'm sorry. I didn't expect that. I just remember all the great times I had with my buddies there. I mean, we had such great games. The Catholic versus Convicts game, where Notre Dame ended Miami's winning streak in 1988, and we ended up winning the national championship that year. Just incredible stuff.
And it's not even like, you know, it's the matchups don't even really matter as much. You're looking back and like, it's the time that you were at in life where you're looking ahead. You're just like, all right, nothing matters in the world as much as being on campus with your buddies, going to these games. And then at some point, you're like, all right, at some point, life's going to start. I'm going to like think about the future and do all that stuff. But for right now, this is all that matters, which is like so much fun.
Yeah. And well, I got to let you in a little one here. Holly, I hope she isn't listening. But I broke up with my girlfriend towards the end of spring of our senior year, even though we were doing pretty good. But I just was like,
you were doing pretty good with your girlfriend.
I got to eject. I don't want to miss out on the last like 90 days with my buds.
Smart.
These were like, we all lived in the dorms. Very few of us moved off campus.
Yeah.
Because that's the way, it's a small school. Most people don't realize Notre Dame is tiny by most. I mean, it's 12,000 maybe total.
That is
with
tiny.
Graduate school.
My college.
The undergrad was like 8,000.
My college had 35,000 students.
So it's small. It's intimate. You're sharing lunches at dining halls together. We stayed in the same, a lot of us stayed in the same dorm for 4 years. And I just felt like, you know, okay, not to get my girlfriend is going on to do this in life. I have no idea what I'm going to do and be moving back to Oregon.
Yeah.
It's probably, I probably don't want to try. So I'm probably not going to work. And so I made a decision. It was like, I just want to be with my boys because they were like family and they still are.
And you must have known there was like something inside of you. And like, this is so funny. Like, no, we didn't plan on talking about
anything. No, we didn't.
But whatever. There was probably something inside you that knew. You're just like, this is not the person for me. This is not the person I'm going to spend my life with. So
I don't know about that.
I don't want to waste any more time on this person.
It wasn't a matter of wasting. It was like, I didn't think it would be fair to go out of college when graduating in a relationship when...
I mean, there's nothing mean about it. She's an ex-girlfriend. You've been married now happily for 30 years.
Yeah, 27 in a couple months.
Congratulations.
But yeah, it was like, you know, she was off to do her thing. I had no idea.
Yeah.
And was going back home to live with my parents. It's like, I didn't want to, I felt like I'd be dragging her down, to be honest, because I didn't, had no idea what was coming.
I'm being
totally honest.
I think you're justifying it now, trying to be nice. What you really wanted to do
I honestly,
was hang out with
but
your
But I did
boys.
Want to hang with my boys when yes, I got down to it. That and was the most important thing to me at that time.
There's nothing wrong with that. So I have three sons right now. I'm about to have my fourth son. You probably told this to your son, and I will tell this to my sons when they get to the age when they start looking at people that they're getting serious about. But like, I'm going to be telling them, like, do not get super serious until you're ready to get really serious. I mean, like, I know people get really, like, I had friends who were really, really seriously dating in high school, and then, I mean, as much as you can, and then in college, and then those things didn't end up working out. Like, for some people, they turn into lifelong happy marriages, and that's great, but that's such a fun time in life. Like, don't go waste that time of life with the drama that does tend to come with
being in a relationship. But I wouldn't say it's a waste. Right, I would never consider
not
any
a waste,
of my time
you know what I mean? Like,
because
not a waste,
those are all learning and growing experiences.
Yeah,
you know, somewhat. And there's you get better hopefully with each relationship along the way, and if you find the one that clicks right away, that's great. It happens. I mean, one of my college boys, you know, got married right out of ND. You know, they just started dating like really quickly and then it took off and they were still married today, have a great family. So it can happen. I would never call it a waste.
No,
even if things don't work out.
I understand. You meet the right person. You can meet the right person at any age. My parents met at 19 and 20 and they've been
married. Don't lose track of the people that are important in your life just because you have started a relationship with someone else, right? You still have to have touches with that. And I will never forget, I was the best man in one of my good buddies from high school, his wedding, and his dad pulled me aside. I'd known this guy forever. And he's like, Chris, if you go through life, he was just talking about me and his son.
He's drunk.
No, not at all. No, not at all.
All right.
And he's like, Chris, if you go through life and can count on one hand people that you can rely on that at a moment's notice they would jump for you. He goes, if you have enough people to fill that on one hand, he goes, you will have a blessed life. You know, if they're just that handful of people that are the rocks behind you, and I have another one, my longest and dearest friend, known since he was six. Lives in New Jersey now. I never see him. I see him tomorrow. We're six again.
Yeah.
And
isn't that fun?
The rock is there, I know that if he needed something or I needed something, one phone call away. And if you have one or two of those people in your life, you're blessed.
Yeah.
That isn't your partner, right? So don't lose sight of those things, I guess, as you're moving forward. I mean, you're not always going to be hanging out with your high school buddies.
That's true.
But, you know, there are a few people through life that, you know, that if you can count, you know, two, three or four, you're doing well.
Man, and
just don't forget
that
kind of
stuff. Chris is just dropping some wisdom on us today.
I am a little older than you.
No, he's a couple years, but not much. Couple years. I was going to say, are you feeling pretty accomplished? Because earlier this morning, you've come back here to hang out with us, which is very generous of you and your time. And I'm wondering if maybe you're just in this talky mode, which is why we're so talky today. Earlier this morning, you actually hosted the morning news on your own. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. I filled in for Dave Ross this morning. Dave takes Fridays off, which is great. And so Colleen was feeling a little ill. She would normally step into Dave's role. And so I filled in as Dave on Seattle's morning news.
So you got a call early this morning.
As I was getting out of the shower, the producer, David, was like, when I get a text at 4:15, my first thing is, oh no, what's happening with Tommy?
Yeah.
He's an hour ahead in Montana. He's the only one who texts that early. And then it was David, our producer. He's like, Colleen's not feeling well. Could you be Dave Ross this morning? I was like, well, I'll be Chris Sullivan pretending to be Dave Ross. Sure, whatever you need.
I'll
just come in. You know, it was great. I mean, David makes it really easy. Fridays are always a little bit of fun. But I also had to do traffic as well. I had to do my real job.
So you were
anchored the show. So yeah, so at 6:03, Tom Hutler was in. He'd do the thing. They toss it to traffic with me. And then I'd toss it back to myself to start the show. So it was a lot. It was a lot of fun. I had a blast. And again, Friday light for most of the show. Mickey was able to come in a little bit early and start to and help me out there. But yeah, we had a lot of fun today. It was a blast.
Let me tell you this: as somebody who does the show by myself every single night, it is really fun, isn't it?
Yeah,
there is something that it does feel. There's kind of a high wire act where you're just like, all right, I got a lot of stuff I got to get to, and I got to do this all on my own. And so I'm glad you had that experience.
So it was pretty cool. I mean, normally we have folks to fill in so I can concentrate on the traffic stuff. But on a Friday when it wasn't too bad, I didn't really miss out much in terms of reporting because I don't want to, sacrifice one for the other. But yeah, it worked out great. David put together a good show. The texters seemed to like me having a little fun in there. The energy was up. We had G on. We had Margaret Brennan from CBS's Face the Nation. So it was just kind of good to exercise my old news roots. I started this business and did 20 years as a news reporter, anchor, sports reporter. And most people don't realize that about me because, they're maybe new to the station or whatnot. And it was a blast stretching those muscles.
I just want to say, I think that Dave Ross, isn't he retiring in the next couple of years?
I don't know anything about that.
Well, if he does choose to retire, I mean, I'm kind of looking at a good replacement, I think, right now. It's about personality, people like you. I heard that the response was pretty good.
Yeah,
so
it was fun. And, the texters were very nice and the folks on social were very kind. The Seattle's Morning News is a weird show. We have a lot of things going on. It's not like a straight talk show. There are lots of moving parts. It keeps you on your toes and keeps you going.
You guys can't spend 15 minutes talking about Rudy on the Seattle's Morning News?
Well, I mean, we spent 8 minutes talking to Salk about Mike Salk from 710 ESPN about the Seahawks and the Mariners. We talked to G. Scott for, 5 minutes about the Seahawks.
Nice.
So Margaret Brennan, we talked about, Israel, Ukraine.
Well, Chris, we're on my show. I don't care what you guys talk about this morning. That's old news, buddy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, so much has happened today.
So much. And now we've run out of time. But Chris Sullivan, thank you for hanging out. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for making me cry. Sorry, kind of well up a little bit.
I'm so glad that you cried. I like people to cry when they listen to my show. All right, we got a lot of stuff coming up tonight. What do we got, Matt?
Coming up on tonight's Cairo Nights, you'll find out what competing athletes at the upcoming Paris Olympics are going to give up for the sake of the climate. And the world's getting better, at least according to Patton Oswalt, anyway. We'll find out why he thinks that. And an extended conversation with our always fascinating resident historian, Felix Bedell. All that, plus, of course, the news roundup, all headed your way on the Friday night edition of Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. Hey, do you guys ride public transit? Do you ride Link Light Rail? There's been some crazy Link Light Rail stories that happened recently. It's like some crazy random attacks that happened on Link Light Rail. And they confirm something that I've felt for a long time, which is that if you can avoid public transit, you should. I have been avoiding it as long as I can. I've ridden it a few times, but mostly, you know, I drive myself around. That's a choice I've made. It's an extra expense. I understand that. Not everybody wants to have that expense to drive your vehicle and upkeep your vehicle and pay to put gas in your vehicle. But for me, because I don't like random violent attacks, I try to stay off public transit. Listen to this story from Cairo 7 News. This is absolutely nuts. I cannot believe this is happening on Link Light Rail.
Riders say that they are particularly concerned because based on the latest court documents, it appears the stabbing was a completely random situation. Now, that victim was stabbed up there on a train last night. He was stabbed in the legs, both of them, and in fact, hurt severely enough that he needed a tourniquet. These violent cases are happening even though Sound Transit has already seriously stepped up security. Just released video shows the moments a deadly shooting unfolded February 25th right on the light rail.
I don't know how you're going to stop it.
Investigators say the suspect and victim got on the train at different stops and rode for a while. When the victim was getting off at the Pioneer Square stop, the suspect stuck out a foot and tripped him. The victim turned around and the suspect punched him. Video shows them fighting. Then the suspect got out a gun and shot the victim in the head.
I'm kind of scared. I don't want that to happen.
More violence on the light.
Yeah, kind of scared. Are you kidding? And this video that they showed on Cairo 7, it's absolutely nuts. Because there's nowhere you can go. Like, if you're sitting on that Link Light Rail, there's absolutely nowhere you can go. Those doors are shut. It's moving. You're stuck. All you can do is, like, try to get forward in the cart so that maybe you're not affected by this. But these two guys just start tussling, and then it just gets as bad as it can possibly get.
Rail Monday night, a stabbing on board near the SeaTac Airport station. Court documents say a man approached the victim, quote, talking crazy about religion. The victim told him to get away and leave him alone and tried to get up and move. But the suspect pepper sprayed that victim, starting a fight.
Listen, this is the worst part, too, because, like, one of the things that I kind of take comfort in when horrible things happen is I always think to myself, and I guess this is just like a protective mechanism or something, but one of the things I always think is, well, yes, that could happen, but I don't put myself in those situations. Or I don't know a lot of drug dealers, so I'm not going to get caught up in like a drug shooting or something. I don't know any drug dealers, actually, but like I'm not in those situations. Or, you know, I try to avoid being around violent people, so I'm not going to get caught up in violence. But the truth is, like, random attacks do happen all of the time, especially you live in the city. We hear about it all the time. It's awful. It's horrible, which is another reason I've actually chosen to live outside the city. And I know many of you have as well. A huge part of my audience, like the biggest part of my audience, either live south or they live north. There's a bunch of you in town too. I get a lot of text messages from people who live in town. And I understand why you do it. I used to live in the town too, in the city too. I used to live in Seattle for years. My wife and I lived here. I lived here when I was single. Then I met my wife and we lived here together. And then eventually, we said, you know what? We've just started a family. This is like 9 years ago when we had just started a family. We had a six-month-old. And we said, you know what? We just can't be in the city anymore. We got to get out. We lived in Green Lake. And my wife, she's walking my son around the park, as she would do, because we lived, you know, near the park. And you're just seeing stuff that I don't want my child to be raised around. You're seeing needles and stuff on the ground. It has gotten better in certain areas. At that time, 9 years ago in Green Lake, it was getting bad. And there was a lot of folks literally living in the park, doing things that they should not have been doing in the park. Drugs, violence. It's just, for me and my family, it was time to go. We got out of there. But the scary part is there are random attacks that happen that you just can't avoid. So like when you hear in the story where he says like the guy's sitting across from apparently a crazy guy who starts talking to him about religion or whatever he's talking about. And he says, I'm not interested. So one, he tries to get out of there. And then he says, he stands up, tries to remove himself from the situation. Still doesn't do any good. The guy follows him. And then he ends up being stabbed a bunch.
And the suspect pulled out a knife and began stabbing the victim repeatedly in the legs. It has some people worried.
We should use public transport, but if it's not safe, who wants to use it then?
Though this frequent light rail rider,
usually about 3 times a week,
says he feels safe riding. But after hearing about these,
if he feels safe riding after hearing that story, like somebody comes up in the news and they tell me, they go, hey, guess what? We're just like taking, you guys, you want to be on the news? And somebody says, yeah, sure. And then they say, hey, so we're going to ask you some questions about all the violence on the Link light rail system. And so recently, as you know, there was a random fight that broke out and somebody ended up getting shot in the head. And then just yesterday, there was an attack on the light rail. This story is a couple days old. But just the other day, there was an attack on the light rail and somebody got into, again, a random fight. And one of the people ended up being stabbed so many times in the leg that they had to use a tourniquet just to try to save his life. So are you afraid to ride on the Link light rail? If a person's answer to that is no, I'm not really that worried, that's not a serious person. And they need to think about themselves a little bit more and they need to protect themselves. You are in danger if you're riding on those trains and this is happening.
Recent attacks?
If they're more random, that's definitely starting to get more concerning for sure.
People say they have noticed an uptick in Sound Transit security. In fact, there are now 480 security personnel, double from 2022. A Sound Transit spokesperson said the recent violent cases are, quote, indicative of the problems we're having with violence in the rest of the city. Some riders agree.
Unfortunately, it's kind of the nature of what we live in anymore.
It's true, and you just got to kind of accept it, I guess. And so then, like, the choice is simple. For me, my choice was, all right, if I can't do anything to stay safe on these trains, then it's just not a risk that I'm willing to take. So that's why, you know, that's why I don't ride them. And I just don't like sitting next to strangers. I'm not all about that. People get smelly on these trains. I don't know why, but there's a lot of BO on these on these trains. I don't know why that is. Maybe that's the case for everyone everywhere, but I've noticed it on trains. Here's another thing, and this might inform a little bit of my distaste for public transit. When I was a child, I was in San Francisco. I was with my grandparents. They lived there growing up. So we used to go visit them all the time. One of the things I loved to do, ironically, as a kid, was to ride the BART system. Have you guys ever ridden BART? Kind of connects all of like downtown San Francisco, East Bay, up north a little bit. It's a great system. And Seattle would be very lucky if eventually the light rail system resembled anything that BART was. Now, what BART is today, I don't know, not so great. But anyway, back then when I was riding BART with my grandparents, we all get on the train. We've just gone down to San Francisco. We've just had a ton of fun. We've just, went to Wharf 69 or Wharf 42 or whatever it's called. And we're just doing all the tourist stuff. On the way back, we head back home. And my grandparents lived outside of the city. So we get on BART and we start heading outside of the city. It's a pretty long ride. It's like 30 minutes or something like that. So, you know, standing room only, but we see in the corner, not in the corner, but like we see in one of the cars that we're in, there's an empty seat. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Cause I'm with my grandparents, my grandma, you know, she's not very young at this point. And so we all make our way over there and my grandpa and my sister and I, we all stand, which I was happy to do. I was thrilled. It was a fun experience. My grandma, she takes the seat, the empty seat that nobody's sitting in. Unbelievably, it's just an empty seat. Standing room only in BART, but nobody's sitting in this seat. I wonder why. So we don't figure it out for about 30 seconds until after my grandma sits down in this seat. And what do you think it was? This is awful. This is an awful story. I can only share this with you now because both my grandparents have passed away a few years ago now. But this was a story that we actually laughed about in our family for years. And my grandma laughed about it and everybody had a good sense of humor about it. But it was really gross at the time. So my grandma sits down on this empty seat and we're all just kind of like, is there an interesting smell on BART? Like, what is this smell that I'm smelling right now? It smells an awful lot like what downtown San Francisco smells like. And downtown San Francisco smells an awful lot like, that's right, urine. And so what had happened was somebody, I guess, had sat down on that seat and just decided, you know what? It's a long ride. I'm just going to let it go. And so they did. The seat was soaked. My poor grandma sits down on this seat and it's just soaked in urine. So she quickly stands up. Nothing you can do. She's not like she's a kindergartner with a backpack full of extra clothes. She has no extra clothes. So we have to ride the rest of the trip with my grandma experiencing this horrible wetness. And then we like get back to their car and like have to figure out how to like find her a towel so she's not going to ruin the inside of their car. Bad news. So yeah, maybe that has shaped my perception of public transit just a little bit, possibly. But also stories like this, what's happening on Link Light Rail, bad deal. That's why I avoid it. All right, we got a lot more coming up. Stick around. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
You're listening to Cairo Nights with Jake Skorheim.
Welcome back to Cairo Nights. All right, I have a very quick segment here for you, and I got to cover this news really, really quick because I saw this. I thought you'd be interested in it. It's kind of carrying along the story that we've been reporting on with TikTok. Or we've been not reporting on, we've been talking about it, but everybody's been talking about TikTok. And why? Because on Wednesday, 2 days ago, the U.S. House of Representatives passed a bill which could lead to the U.S. banning the social platform known as TikTok. They voted on it like it was pretty much, it wasn't unanimous, 352-65, but very bipartisan. These lawmakers can't agree on anything, but they can all agree that TikTok needs to divest from its parent company, ByteDance, because of ties to communist China. That's what everybody seems to agree on Capitol Hill. Nancy Pelosi, she broke this down. We have an update on this, actually, which is why I'm telling you the story. The CEO of TikTok was on Capitol Hill, and he was talking. We'll get to that in just a second. But Nancy Pelosi, she kind of broke it down for us. And she's a grandma. She's got young people in her family. They use TikTok. She knows all about TikTok.
First of all, this is not a ban on TikTok. I'm a grandmother of teenagers. I understand the entertainment value, the educational value, the communication value, the business value for some business on this. This is not an attempt to ban TikTok. It's an attempt to make TikTok better. Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
Tic-tac-toe. A winner. A winner.
All right, so here's what Pelosi basically broke down. She explained why she thinks that this bill needed to pass, and it did. This bill, it overwhelmingly passed. Why she thinks that the company TikTok needs to divest from ByteDance. She explains it here.
The Tibetans have come forth and said on TikTok in China, they are suppressed. They cannot put their message out. Not only that, the Chinese government misrepresents the situation in Tibet. In Hong Kong, well, let me just tell you about Hong Kong. During the Taiwan election, TikTok TikToked into Taiwan that the Uyghurs, on whom there is a genocide exercised by the Chinese government, they have told the people in Taiwan that the Uyghurs like that genocide. And they told them that the people of Hong Kong like the destruction of their democracy. They don't frame it that way, but that's their message. And again, suppressing the communication from Tibet. And then just people yesterday on the steps, we heard from the Taiwan people, we heard from the Tibetans, we heard from the Hong Kong, and we heard from a woman whose husband was arrested because of his communication with somebody with a shared view. So this is controlled by the Chinese Communist government. But forgetting that, if you can, I can't.
So then she urges everybody to vote to pass this. All right, so here's the update. TikTok CEO, he was on Capitol Hill yesterday for a trip that he said was pre-planned. So I guess he said it just happened to coincide with them trying to shut down his company or at least force his company to divest. He is staging a last-ditch effort to try and get senators to tank this legislation, which President Joe Biden has already said that he would sign. So he was talking. He was on the Capitol Hill. Reporters approached him, asked him these questions. Here he is.
Yeah, okay, for sure. This is pre-planned. My trip to D.C. was pre-planned. And there's a lot of misinformation out there, and I intend to clarify it. You know, there's a lot of noise, but I haven't heard, you know, exactly what we've done this morning. As you know, it's very disappointing for us that the bill passed in the House of Representatives. you know, we looked at it, this is a banned bill, you know, in this form, with this passed into law, this is a ban on the app in this country. It's going to impact 170 million Americans who use our app. It's going to impact 7 million small businesses, and I hope their voices are heard.
But lawmakers are saying this is not a ban. You're spreading this.
So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. He says it's a ban. It's going to have, you know, cost 170 million people their ability to enjoy their freedoms on this app. But who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? I guess we're going to follow this and let you know. All right, we got a lot more coming up on the show, including next, we're going to give you the answer to that trivia clip we played earlier in the start of the news roundup. Stick around for that. We're going to be right back here on Cairo Nights.
Tick-tack-toe. A winner. A winner.